Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Joshua Zeitz, whose brand new book, Lincoln's God, How Faith Transformed a President and a Nation, is now available everywhere. And he's a historian, he's a contributing writer at Politico, and he's written about Abraham Lincoln, particularly about people that were associated with Abraham Lincoln, but now he's taking on the president himself. And Joshua, as I dove into this book, I've read a lot about Lincoln over the years, and I remember when I was a little kid, my parents got me a presidential trivia book, and one of the questions in there, very simplistic, was what religion was Abraham Lincoln? And the answer was he had none. And that always stood out with me. Now as I read this book, it's a lot more complicated than that little two-line trivia question. So first of all, just from a standpoint of somebody who writes about history, why does anybody care what Lincoln thought about religion, about God, about anything metaphysical?
No, that's a good question. I mean, I think there are two ways to answer that. I mean, first is that after Lincoln's assassination, which occurred on Good Friday and therefore assumed, you know, an enormous religious import in a country that was extremely devout at the time, there was a rush to turn him into a Christian martyr, and his early, you know, biographers who really were writing hagiographies bent over backwards to turn him into a devout evangelical Protestant, which he was in no fashion at all at any point during his life. So that's something you kind of have to, you face that legacy of Lincoln memory and have to try to at least correct it or understand it with more nuance. But I think more importantly, why is it important whether he was religious or not? I think it's because he was the first president to openly court the churches, the ministers, the lay leaders of the major Protestant churches. He was arguably the first president to deeply infuse his public statements and speeches with religious themes, and he used religion in a powerful way to help Northerners make sense of the Civil War and understand their role in it and to sustain support for it. And so while his personal religiosity is a matter of some interest and curiosity, the way in which he used religion and interacted with the churches is, in fact, a really important and underserved part of the Civil War history.
And the way you use the term use, was it more of a political end to Lincoln, or was it a conscious thing he did, or did he just kind of test the tea leaves of the general public at the time and say, you know what, this is a way to reach them because this is what they believe?
I think it's all of the above. I mean, as a politician in the 1840s and 1850s, he stayed clear of religious themes. You'd be strained to find any kind of invocation of biblical themes or language or in any of his speeches or letters. He seems to have become genuinely religious during the war, although in an iconoclastic way and not quite in the standard evangelical vein that was predominant during the 19th century. But he also is a very astute politician, so it's coming from two places. On one hand, he comes genuinely to believe that he is the instrument of God and that he has somehow been divinely ordained to play out this historical drama, the destruction of slavery being the sort of end goal of that drama. So there's a genuine belief there, but he also appreciates the power of the churches, the influence of the ministers, and the way in which ordinary Americans could really help come to understand the political and military events that they were living through by doing it through a biblical frame. So I think it's at once really genuinely heartfelt, but also politically knowing and astute.
As he was growing up in the western part of the country at the time, and what would now be considered part of the Midwest, what was the religious overtones like of his upbringing? Did his parents raise him in something?
Yeah, so his parents were called anti-mission or hard-shell Baptists. So they were Baptists of the old Calvinist faith, which made them stand out a bit in this era, because in the early 19th century, you saw the rise of evangelical churches, the Methodist Church, other branches of the Baptist Church, branches of the Presbyterian Church, religions that were once denominations that were once extremely prominent, like the Disciples of Christ. And most of these evangelical churches and movements rejected the old Calvinism of old and the predestinarian type doctrines that New England Puritans had once cleaved to. So his parents are extremely religious, but they kind of cut against the grain in that era, in that they are not in lockstep with the evangelical churches, their theology, or their reform impulses as well. But what's interesting is that Lincoln rejects his parents' hard-shell Baptist faith as a boy and as a young man. But instead of doing what, you know, the average American in this era would have done, was joining a Methodist church, joining another Baptist church, you know, becoming a Christian and embracing a theology that really emphasized personal agency and responsibility, he just rejects religion altogether. And in his early political career, this is a problem for him. In his first runs for the state legislature and in his race for Congress in 1846, where he ran against a Democratic nominee who was also a very prominent Methodist circuit rider and minister, he faced charges of being a religious scoffer. There were rumors that he had once authored a tract that wasn't published, of course, but which questioned the divinity of Christ. And so to be very quiet and tight-lipped about his agnosticism over the next 15 years, and it's not really until he goes to the White House that he develops any kind of faith.
Had he grown up someplace other than where he did, would religion have even been an issue for him in those early years of his political career?
I mean, I think it would have been, because the United States in the 19th century, and certainly in the first three or four decades of the 19th century, underwent a profound religious awakening. It's called the Second Great Awakening. And you saw a massive swell of church membership. You saw a rising infrastructure associated with the churches. By the eve of the Civil War, there were about as many Methodist ministers as there were postal workers for the U.S. government, which is a quirky little stat, but at the time, the U.S. Postal Service was the largest branch of the U.S. government and the one with which ordinary people had everyday contact. And so you see that the churches themselves were both enormous in their sweep and range and their importance. So it's hard to imagine that it would have been any different from growing up in New England or Ohio or, Iowa, as opposed to, say, Kentucky and Indiana. And Lincoln's a fascinating character because he cuts against the grain in so many ways. And his, his rejection of religion in his early years was in many ways just iconoclastic and stood out.
I'm chatting with Joshua Zeitz about his brand new book, Lincoln's God, How Faith Transformed a President and a Nation. It is available everywhere. And not just for Lincoln buffs, it's available, I mean, it's appeals to people for all different kinds of reasons. And Josh, the Lincoln Bible is sort of just one of those things that everybody sort of knows about. Presidents have used it to take the oath of office. What is the story of that Bible and where it came from? Because I think that's grown more legend than truth over the years.
I don't know where it came from, but it was obviously the Bible that he was sworn into office on, and it would have been a King James Bible. And what's so important about that and interesting is that the King James Bible was the most widely read book in North America at that time, and although he hadn't been religious, the Bible was one of the few texts that Lincoln turned to again and again and again from his earliest years as a young man. He once told his law partner that he didn't read widely, but he read deeply, and that things remained etched in steel for him once he had read it. And so the King James Bible, as well as Shakespeare, are two of his touch points from a literary perspective, and they're written in the same style. When you think about it, the King James Bible, the version that was popular then, the one that he would have been sworn into office on, was an edition that had been revised during the Elizabethan period, so it sounds very Shakespearean in its grammatical constructions and word constructions and cadences. And for him, Shakespeare and the Bible, even before he became a particularly religious person, were literary devices that he understood were widely recognized and would help him convey a point or relate to people using a vernacular that they really understood. So, I'm afraid I don't know the genesis of that particular Bible. I can tell you it was that King James Bible, and it was the text that he turned to, repeatedly. It would have been literally the Bible that he used while drafting, the second inaugural address or the Gettysburg Address, both of which infused, a number of religious tropes and themes and quotes from that Bible.
For a president that went through leading the nation in a civil war, and people would probably think, gosh, that's the worst thing to happen during his presidency, he lost a child, Willie, during his presidency. And so how did that play into how he viewed religion?
His wife said that he became more religious after Willie died and leading up to, the following year when he went to Gettysburg to deliver the address. Like many Americans, he faced death in this really intimate way. He didn't lose a son to war. He lost a young son to typhoid. But, Lincoln is grappling with his role presiding over this carnival of death, and he's trying to understand why he's been chosen to do this. We know this from one or two private notes that he sort of scratched out just for himself that his secretaries found years after the fact. So, you know, like many Americans, he's trying to understand why he's been chosen to go through this ordeal. He's trying to understand why he's been chosen to preside over, you know, a war that's going to deliver death to 750,000 Americans, hundreds of thousands of families who are going to experience the same loss he did. Religion becomes a way for him to think about it and reorder it. And for many Americans as well, you know, the experience of the war not only inspired them to turn to religion, it also impacted the way that their theology operated. I mean, during the war, many people, including the Lincolns, had changing conceptions of death and the afterlife. So Christianity itself, from a theological standpoint, is changed by the war, even as it's helping people to get through the war.
One of the interesting things in your book I found is that the idea of how Black Americans viewed religion at the time, and especially during the time of slavery, which is pretty much all of Lincoln's presidency, how did that differ from white Americans? Because we really had two Americas at the time.
That's right. I mean, evangelical Protestantism was the predominant religious strain in the United States in the antebellum period for Black and white worshipers in the North. White Christians, white evangelicals in the antebellum period tended to put much more emphasis on Christian love, on pacifism and persuasion. Theirs was a New Testament religion in emphasis, whereas for Black evangelicals, there wasn't a shared faith that America was somehow a new Canaan. There wasn't an idea that America had a providential mission in the world. America was the Old Testament Egypt for African American worshipers. And, you know, the biblical stories they turned to tended to be more violent, more vengeful God, more wrathful God. What happens during the war is fascinating. The white evangelical churches move toward the theological emphasis of the Black churches. They come to rediscover the Old Testament. You see a lot of ministers actually explicitly saying in sermons, we're finding new relevance in the Old Testament. They come to reject the idea that pacifism and moral persuasion are the only ways to affect change, and they come to, you know, full-throatedly support total war against the South in a scorched earth type way. It's very reminiscent of the Old Testament. So interestingly enough, you know, Black evangelical tradition ends up informing, influencing, and melding in many ways with white evangelical Protestantism during the war.
It seems like every candidate that we see today, you can tell, I mean, you look at their biography and you tell what religion they are. And as Lincoln quoted from these books, it seems like his view was more globalistic of it when he would quote from the Bible in a speech or translate something, you know, steal from, you know, for lack of a better term, something from the Bible to put it in a speech. So as he did this, was he consciously picking and choosing based upon his interpretation of the Bible, or was he actually playing to how people interpret it? Because a lot of people interpret the Bible different ways.
I think he was able to do it in both ways. What's interesting is there are so many references in his speeches and public papers during this period to the Almighty, to the Lord, to God. You see no mention of Christ. What's interesting is that this is an evangelical nation in which most Christians, not all, there's a strong Unitarian movement, but most Christians are Trinitarian in theology. He probably never was, and his God was a much more distant and unknowable God, whereas for most evangelicals, it was a more personal relationship with God through Christ. So, you know, he's not, his religiosity diverts from that of the larger northern evangelical public. That having been said, he chooses themes and language to infuse in his speeches that would have been recognizable and resonant. He just may be getting something a little bit different out of them from other Christians. Most evangelical leaders during the war were convinced that theirs was a holy war and that God was on the Union side and the Union was on God's side, and they could find and cherry-pick tons of references from the Bible to make this point. He could cherry-pick the same references and use them to frame the importance of the war, but Lincoln actually was never certain that, you know, God was on the Union side or the Union on God's side. He thought that the war was a divine retribution for the sin of slavery that both Northerners and Southerners had to pay the bill for. But he never shared the certitude of most of the ministers that the Bible showed them that the Union would win. So he could use the same language. language, an appeal to a different sensibility on the part of his listeners and readers than he himself felt.
Well, I tell you what, as I read this book, it just became, I mean, it was like going down a rabbit hole, and I loved it because it just became more and more complex and, but nevertheless, easy to understand. The book is called Lincoln's God, How Faith Transformed a President and a Nation. It is available everywhere. It's by Joshua Zeitz. Josh, I loved reading this book. I love reading about Lincoln, and this book was just a great addition to that that set of books that's, you know, thousands that have been written. I appreciate you joining me to talk about it.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
God bless the USA.